Welcome to Everything EFL. My name's Erin O'Byrne, and I firmly believe that you as a teacher are special, amazing, creative, and passionate. But it's very easy to get burnt out and overwhelmed. With my podcast and my teacher training, I aim to help you avoid burnout and cut down on your prep time so you can unleash your creativity and enjoy your work more mindfully. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, you gorgeous teacher. If you're one of my lovely regular listeners, welcome back. If you're brand new to Everything EFL, you are most welcome and I hope you stick around. But if you missed last episode 104, I suggest you go back. This is part of a series within a series called Cornerstones of Learning, and its aim is to kickstart a gradual but manageable process of you becoming a better teacher and of developing. And I feel like you need to listen to my pep talk in episode 104 before you begin. All right, this week we're talking about trust and vulnerability. Now, it's kind of hard to rank the cornerstones list that I made, but trust is definitely somewhere near the top. It is essential. Without it, your students' learning will not reach its full potential. Building relationships with students means trust. Trust means learning. Community means trust, which means learning. Community between you and each other. More on this in a future episode. But my point is, you will get more out of them if you do this process. You won't reach everyone straight away. You have to work your way around the room, if you will. Be patient. Let's start with the benefits. Why should you spend your time building trust with your students? Well, as ESL teachers or English teachers or whatever acronym you want to use, our primary goal is to help students succeed in learning English. And while it's important to focus on quote-unquote teaching, you know, grammar, vocab and the other language skills, building strong relationships with our students is equally as important. It's all about getting students to feel comfortable and supported in the classroom. You know, they're more likely to stay motivated and engaged and open to learning. You know, and this doesn't just happen naturally in a lot of cases. I think we just kind of, you know, expect our students to be motivated and to learn, but it just isn't really true, is it? Think about, you know, maybe not even adult students, but like, I'm just thinking of a specific case. My husband is Irish and his memory of learning Irish was pretty traumatic, you know? And the only thing he can say to this day in Irish is, "Can I go to the toilet, please?" And he learnt that out of fear and nothing else. So, you know, if he were to learn another language or try and learn Irish again, I think there would just be a huge psychological barrier preventing him from really learning. So anyway, here are some reasons as to why building relationships with our students is critical to their success. Firstly, building trust and rapport. When students feel their teacher genuinely cares about their well-being, they're more likely to trust and respect you. And this creates a positive learning environment where students feel comfortable asking questions, sharing their thoughts and ideas, and taking risks in their learning. And that could be something as, you know, insignificant as raising their hand and asking for help and saying, "I don't know." Secondly, it encourages participation. Students with positive relationships with their teachers are likelier to participate in class activities and discussions. And when students feel valued and appreciated, they're more likely to contribute to the class and share their experiences and perspectives. At the end of the day, you know, they're learning English, whether they know it or not, to communicate. So, you know, that needs to be encouraged as much as possible in the classroom environment. Thirdly, it supports academic achievement. Research has shown that strong teacher-student relationships are linked to academic achievement. When students feel connected to their teacher, they're more motivated to learn, they're more likely to complete assignments, and they're more likely to achieve their academic goals. Students also learn better when they're not afraid to make mistakes, and this can only be done when they trust you and your reaction or response. So how can you foster a strong relationship with your students? Here are just a few strategies. Very simple. Firstly, and probably most importantly, get to know your students. Learn about their backgrounds, their interests, their goals. Show interest in their lives outside the classroom and use this information to personalise your lessons and activities. Some students might not excel in classwork or class, but they may perform well in, you know, sports, dancing or other activities. Now, I mentioned in episode 101, when I was talking about my beginners, I had a particular beginner with literally no English, but he was a fantastic artist. And I gave him some vocabulary cards to create, and he really got into it. He created these wonderful drawings to represent the word. And, you know, that gave me a chance to give him praise. And the fact that this was a responsibility I gave him, I think really helped our relationship. Secondly, communicate effectively. Make sure your students understand your expectations, instructions, and feedback. Use clear and simple language, visual aids, and gestures to help convey your message. Thirdly, listen. So a week or so ago, a less experienced teacher was telling me that she has a student who's practically falling asleep in class, very unresponsive. And I think she automatically jumped to, you know, this student's being a shit, they're not interested. But I said, have you spoken to them? No, she hadn't. Okay, so what's going on? Maybe, you know, is it worth taking this student aside and just asking, you know, is there anything happening? Is there something I can help you with? So just listen to your student's perspective and offer a solution based on that information. Treating students with empathy reminds them that they are valued. Listening allows the student to be honest and vulnerable without fear. Now, this may be tough, as Jessica Guarnieri said in episode 90, when we talked about dealing with trauma. Take the time to do this. You're going to spend a long time with most of these students, especially if you're in mainstream education, maybe up to 10 or 11 months. You know, it's worth taking the time to listen to them. Fourthly, provide support and encouragement. Be a source of support and encouragement for your students. Provide positive feedback, praise their efforts, and offer assistance when needed. Number five, think about your role and maybe, you know, tell them, sort of make it very explicit, you know, I am here to help you and support you as well as teach you. Teaching, you know, what is your student's perspective of teaching? Teacher delivers information. Okay, fine, we do that, but we do so much more. Maybe the students need to hear that from you as well. And lastly, create a positive classroom environment. Create a safe and welcoming classroom environment where students feel comfortable expressing themselves and taking risks in their learning. Encourage teamwork and collaboration and celebrate diversity and cultural differences. Even if you have a monolingual class, you know, times are changing. Do your students come from different backgrounds? What can you explore there? Oh, that wasn't lastly. I think this is lastly now. Show appreciation. There are many reasons for poor relationships. One could be that the student has a personal feeling of inadequacy. And a student who doesn't feel recognised by their teacher will likely respond with rebellion or withdrawal. Even adults, we've all seen it. So you want to see them, you know, blossom and flourish. So, you know, this happens with a compassionate and kind attitude from you. And of course, patience. Again, guys, process. A student like this might also fail to participate in class for fear of ridicule. Maybe they won't ask for help. So, you know, to help students overcome their fear of failure, learn to recognise the student's efforts. For example, when you ask a question in class, thank the student for answering, even when they don't give the correct answer. This shows the student that you appreciate their effort. And verbal praise is also essential to motivation and increasing students' engagement during lessons. I'm a firm believer in positivity. See episode 71. And also, you can share as well, which segues very nicely into vulnerability. Question is, how much of yourself are you willing to share with your class? Here are some things my students know about me. I'm a total Lord of the Rings geek. I failed my driving test 5 times. There's nothing that breaks my heart more than seeing a dog who's had its spirit broken by a human. I love flowers and my garden gives me peace. And my husband's very messy. He'd say I nag him about it. I call it angry repetition. Am I right, ladies? So my dad got seriously ill during the pandemic. The day before I was due to go online teaching, for the first time ever, he went into hospital with serious heart problems, and this caused me horrible anxiety. Oversharing? Personally, I don't think so. This example, I used it with my students after I'd processed it, okay? So way after the fact. And, you know, that's fine. My point is, Do your students see you as a teacher or as a human? You know, we all go through different things in life that we can all empathise with and find common ground with. It's all about putting the human at the centre of the learning experience, episode 47, but it does work the other way around too. Your students have to see you as a person. There is a line, obviously, but it can be a malleable, bendy line. How about, you know, using stories as well? I often use my husband. See last comment. So, you know, my students see me kind of as a married woman, middle-aged, you know, I'm a bit messy sometimes, failures, whatever. You know, I used to use a story about when I got caught shoplifting to demonstrate the past perfect in my younger years. Maybe that is oversharing, but, you know, again, it just shows that we all make mistakes. Are you a non-native speaker? Or if you're a native speaker, have you ever learned another language? That language learning journey, mistakes, struggles, misunderstandings, you know, that can be very powerful. Have you got any silly stories where you felt like you looked a little foolish when trying to use another language? When you were a kid, what were your teachers like when you were learning a language? Did you ever say that you don't know? Did you ever make mistakes? I think things should be made explicit as well. It is okay to make mistakes. It is okay to ask for help, that kind of thing. But these concepts need to be repeated, because if you have a super shy student or a student whose, you know, biggest fear is looking stupid and getting something wrong, that sentence, it's okay to make mistakes, no, it's not going to do too much. The feeling has to come from within first. So keep repeating that as well. Okay, guys, so that's kind of pretty much it. But don't forget, I do have a challenge for you. Pens ready. Question, first of all, what are you comfortable sharing with your students? What little things, for example, my messy husband, can you use as examples in class to show that you're human and possibly, you know, to inject a bit of humour into your class as well? And what language learning experiences can you share? So your challenge is, do one thing to get to know your students. Show appreciation for their talents and interests, even if it's not directly related to their English language skills. Okay? How did you do on the last challenge, by the way? Let me know. I'm dying to know how you guys are doing. Also, guys, keep an eye out. I'm going to be launching a webinar on the lexical approach soon. It kind of ties in with all of this in that it will reduce your overwhelm and it does create a mindset shift. This Cornerstone series is all about shifting your mindset, and there will be an episode on the lexical approach in the future as well. I also have a few in my back catalogue if you want to have a look. To get a taster of the lexical approach, my newest freebie is called Mindful Grammar. I'll put the link in the show notes. And you can also sign up to my newsletter if you like and let me know how you're doing with the challenges. That means we have a direct line of communication. What you can also do to help me, guys, is share this episode with a colleague, or talk about this episode or this Cornerstone series with a colleague. Maybe you need an accountability buddy to do the challenges with you. What better way to accomplish something than by having someone there by your side doing it with you? And also, if you're listening to me on Spotify or iTunes, I would really appreciate 5 stars. This helps push me up the listing a little bit and get me noticed. And that's what I want. I want as many teachers as possible doing these Cornerstones challenges. We need to come together as a community and help and support each other. So guys, good luck with your challenge. Please let me know how you're doing. All my social media links and my newsletter link and my freebie link will be in the show notes. And until next time, have a peaceful week. Take care of yourself and share the love. Bye.